Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Is Gaddafi an evil man? Certainly. But where are you, Congress? Why didn't the president come to the Congress and ask the Congress to be supportive and try to justify the action that was taken?
That was North Carolina Congressman Walter Jones, a Republican who, with seven other members of the House, including anti-war progressive Dennis Kucinich, are now suing the White House over what they say is a violation of the War Powers Act. The White House issued a 30-plus page report explaining that their actions in Libya don't fall under that act, in their opinion. Here is Press Secretary Jay Carney on some of what's in that document.
The action the president took, the promises he's made and has kept about the nature of U.S. involvement, and where we are now in terms of our supporting role, where we have no troops on the ground, where we are supporting a NATO mission.
So joining me now to talk about the strange bedfellows and war powers is Keith Johnson, a Wall Street Journal reporter who covers national security issues for them. Hi, Keith. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So one lesson is that hawk or dove, where you stand on the War Powers Act, depends on where you sit in office, Capitol Hill or the White House?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one thing to keep in mind in this whole debate, House Speaker John Boehner is not a party to this particular lawsuit, but he did, send a letter on Tuesday to the president, sort of warning him that his time was going to be up. It's instructive to remember that back during the Bosnian War, one of the big opponents of the War Powers Act was a congressman from Ohio named John Boehner. So, yes, times do change in Washington.
Depending on which party is in power in the White House and waging the war, if it is a war, et cetera, et cetera. And we should probably step back for a second and say that the War Powers Act dates from post-Vietnam and President Nixon. What kind of congressional input does it actually require before the U.S. can intervene militarily around the world or remain in a military conflict?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. The War Powers Act or War Power Resolution, you hear both, are interchangeable. It's a product of the Vietnam War, very clearly. It's from 1973. And the whole point of it was basically to rein in, you know, serious U.S. military engagement overseas, really war, in the sense that, Vietnam was not a declared war, and yet it was obviously a massive military engagement.
And, of course, the Constitution reserves the right to declare war for Congress.
Exactly, to declare war. Now, of course, there hasn't been a declared war since 1945, so a lot of legal scholars point out that that's actually kind of an anachronistic term. Congress doesn't necessarily have the right, in fact, it doesn't have the right to dictate the employment of U.S. troops. That's a prerogative reserved to the commander-in-chief. So that's pretty much the rub of the question is, the question of declaring war or actually making war.
Or defining war, because obviously, to continue with the Vietnam example, that was not a war, according to the White House. It was whatever they were calling. They were using all kinds of euphemisms at that time. And yet, right, by the end of it, 55,000 Americans and millions of Vietnamese were dead. And now we have the White House claiming that this mission in Libya is not a war and therefore doesn't fall under the War Powers Act. Do I have that right?
Yeah, exactly. That's essentially their argument. But, it's true. You mentioned, undeclared wars. There's not just Vietnam and Korea. The U.S. Civil War was also an undeclared war. And, in fact, there was a lot of court fighting over President Lincoln's ability to actually wage war against the South. So, this isn't exactly new. Basically, the administration's line, textually, is that the U.S. military operations in Libya are not the same kind of hostilities envisioned in the War Powers Act. They're playing a limited supporting role. They have no U.S. ground troops on the ground. They have no troops in harm's way. And it's basically a far cry from the sort of engagement that was envisioned in 1973 when the War Powers Act was written.
Listeners, we can take your calls on this. Do you want Congress to authorize, or at least get the chance to authorize or not, the intervention in Libya? Do you want to hear a House vote? Or do you agree that this doesn't rise to that level? And any other thoughts about the War Powers Act? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And my understanding is, Keith, that the White House is not claiming that the War Powers Act itself is unconstitutional, that it unconstitutionally limits the powers of the president.
That's correct.
Just that the mission in Libya doesn't fall under its purview. But hasn't every president, since it was enacted, actually taken the position that the War Powers Act is unconstitutional?
Yeah, not in its entirety, but yeah, certain applications of it. And in fact, there are provisions of the War Powers Act which have been indirectly found to be unconstitutional. And that's specifically, Section 7 of the War Powers Act gives Congress the ability to pass what's called a concurrent resolution, in which they can pass a resolution essentially ordering the troops home, and there's no possibility of a presidential veto. And that's actually an abrogation of executive power, and in a few different Supreme Court cases, that kind of overreach has been found to be unconstitutional. So even though the act itself hasn't been found to be unconstitutional, there's elements of it that have been singled out as such.
Fabio in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Well, my question is, how come Congress never brought this up when we went to Afghanistan and Iraq? Or should I better say, why didn't the Democrats pursue Bush when he was waging these wars over there?
Keith?
Yeah, well, actually, the Afghanistan is actually covered by a thing called the Authorization of the Use of Military Force, which went into effect in September of 2001. And that's actually a presidential finding that's still used today, actually, for the drone strikes and attacks against terrorists in Pakistan and Yemen and everything like that. Basically, the U.S. has the right to, wage military engagements against anyone related to al-Qaeda or the Taliban 10 years later.
And that was approved by Congress.
That was later ratified by Congress.
And I think that's the politics of this, is that administrations where they feel that they had to before getting involved in a war, including Iraq and Afghanistan, went to Congress for something to kind of,
right,
if not legally, politically cover their backs with respect to the War Powers Act, so that people would think that Congress, did have a say in it. That happened before the first Gulf War, too. There was this big vote.
Absolutely, the first Gulf War and then the second Iraq War, all of those went to Congress.
And not in this case, however, I don't believe. Maybe that's because it was a Republican Congress and Obama didn't want to have to go through all the hostility that he would endure. But this has actually been a little different in that respect, right?
Well, this has been different in a lot of respects because they've had difficulty from the beginning, the administration, in making the case that this was of pressing concern for the U.S. And in fact, early on, if you'll recall, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, admitted, that Libya is not of core strategic national interest for the U.S. So it's been a little bit hard to make the case that there was an imminent threat or anything like that. However, it's also important to note, and this is sort of what the White House gets at, unlike both of the Iraqi incursions, there's not only no ground troops involved, there's not, a half a million ground troops like in 1991. It's a very limited supporting role, initially just suppression of air defenses. And right now, and this is their point, right now when the clock is ticking on this 90-day period, they're entirely in a support role, it's just feeding information and surveillance to other members of the NATO coalition.
Are there no U.S. pilots flying missions over Libya, bombing runs or anything?
Bombing runs, they say right now, no. They've got, the U.S. assets are out there in terms of, they've got the AWACS planes. They have, some of the jamming planes out there in a very much in a support role. In fact, in the document that they sent to Congress the other day, they were actually detailing, the 10,000 sorties that have been, launched since the beginning. The huge percentage, and in fact a growing percentage now, are being carried out by some of the coalition partners. The 20 warships that are doing the blockade duty are all non-American warships. So they're really trying to underscore the fact that, the U.S. has very much a supporting role at this point,
so
not
I guess,
an increasing role.
I guess the War Powers Act was written before unmanned drones existed.
Right, which is another point that, that people bring up now, is that you can, in fact, have an engagement of military forces without having, inserting U.S. ground troops into the fight. But one thing that's actually instructive to go back to, back in 1999, another group of congressmen sued then-President Clinton for engaging U.S. forces in the Bosnian conflict. And so it's almost a carbon copy of what we see with the Kucinich suit. They sued him for not going and getting congressional authorization, and for maintaining U.S. presence there beyond the 60-day limit. What was really interesting about that, it was thrown out on procedural grounds. The courts ruled that the congressman didn't have standing to sue the president in this matter. But what was really interesting in the ruling, in the appellate court ruling on the case, they said, and I'd like to just read it, it's a really interesting point. They said, even assuming that a court could determine what war is, it's important to remember that the Constitution grants Congress the power to declare a war, which is not necessarily the same as the power to determine whether U.S. forces will fight in a war. And this is really the nub of the question is, you know, Congress has the power to declare a war, the president is the commander-in-chief, and this is really what the White House is clinging to at this point.
Interesting. Josh in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Josh.
Hi, good morning. Would it be constitutional, in your guest's opinion, would this pass muster for Congress to just refuse to allocate funds for a specific operation, whether it be for engagement in Bosnia or engagement in Libya, and force an administration to do illegal fund shuffling if it were to divert funds from another operation to support one that was specifically prohibited by a congressional resolution?
I think the answer is they can, but they don't in fact have the political stomach for it, so they would rather file a symbolic lawsuit. But, Keith, is that too cynical?
Well, no, there's actually, you know, this is one of the points that they raise in the lawsuit is their allegation that the administration is using previously allocated funds, you know, for other purposes in order to finance this war, which, you know, they view as being a dereliction of duty. There is another prickly point in terms of, you know, can Congress then condition the use of the funds? And there's a lot of constitutional law that tends to say that no, it's unconstitutional for them to say, okay, we'll give you the money to do such and such a thing as long as, you know, you don't do this and you, or you don't, you know, bomb Cambodia and Laos. You don't go here. And there's a whole body of work that says that they can't actually condition the appropriations to that extent.
Right.
So that doesn't seem to be a very viable option either.
And I guess you could ask, could there be a monetary definition of war? Once we've spent $1 billion on something, as will have been the case by September in Libya, is that a definition of war that triggers the War Powers Act?
In all of the different court grapplings with the definition of war, the monetary one is not usually the case. I mean, and there's you know, Supreme Court law going back to 1800 trying to determine, you know, what is a war for different reasons, for different purposes. The monetary question is not really usually the threshold.
Yeah.
It's the engagement of forces, and most especially, it's the proximity of danger for U.S. forces,
which
is another point the White House makes here, is that they're not in the firing line.
I might have thought that more Democrats would be more interested in pursuing this, along with Dennis Kucinich, in limiting war powers. That's been the traditional Democratic position. But I guess when you have a Democratic president, they're going to lay down on that one. So Keith Johnson from The Wall Street Journal, covering the War Powers Act dispute in Washington, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I'll be back tonight at 7 on AM 820 for our New Jersey special. Talk to you then.